Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier and happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Plan Simple Meals. Today, I have an amazing guest, Kelly Grimes. So let me just tell you the official bio of Kelly and then share with you a little bit about how I know her. So Kelly Grimes is a counselor, author, and speaker who works with overwhelmed, exhausted, and stressed out individuals and teaches them empowering strategies to live with more peace, joy, and meaning through the practice of self-nurturing. She believes that we begin with ourselves in order to create a more loving, peaceful world where we all can thrive. She is the mother of two empowered daughters and is married to an artist and sings with a woman's singing group. And you guys, Kelly is just this amazing beacon of light, and I've had the honor to know her for a couple years now, and we've sort of been business buddies, and I've just watched her business flourish, and I'm so excited to share what she has to offer with you guys. So hi, Kelly.
Hi, Mia. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here, and you are in a much warmer spot than me, so I'm feeling a little jealous that you're all the way in California, right? And where it's sunny and probably warmer than it is in Boston right now.
Well, I have to tell you that we're having ridiculously hot weather, like to the fact that the nation is kind of this polar opposites. And so, yeah, so we're sorry. we'll send some warm weather your way, but it doesn't feel like February, I can tell you that.
Oh, I'm a little jealous, but trying to enjoy the snow. So let's dive into some content. So because I know you, I've heard stories of you and your family, and I know that not only do you teach all this stuff about self-nurturing, but you're so good at it yourself. And I've heard so many stories of your daughters, and so I know that, you know, you've told me so many stories about how they even use food to nurture themselves. So tell us a little bit just about yourself and your family and some of your practices, because you're definitely a very busy person with two kids and you do so much in the world with work and volunteering. So tell us what that looks like a little and how you even find time to do this thing we call self-nurturing.
Well, as most of us, when we are drawn to teach something in the world, it's usually from our own experience of really needing it, utilizing a new way of being and seeing what a difference it makes in our lives. So I have two daughters, one who's 20 now and the other who's 16. And the 20-year-old, since she was two, had chronic health challenges. Started off that she had epilepsy, and with the epilepsy, they began triggering migraines. And over time, those migraines shifted into basically being there every single day. So I found in supporting and really trying to care for her and advocate, you know, with doctors and insurance and school and just really just supporting her and being able to survive being in chronic pain, that I ended up becoming really overwhelmed and exhausted myself and pretty depressed, just kind of witnessing my daughter's incredible suffering and really feeling helpless and unable to do anything really to make a difference in that. That's how it felt. So I got to a point where I realized, wow, oh, I cannot be a counselor or a mother or a wife or a friend that I want to be if I stay in this really depleted place. And so I started deeply nurturing myself, really cultivating peace and joy and recognizing that if I wanted to almost provide a sense of possibility for my daughter, I had to embody that and be that. So I started creating all these self-nurturing practices, and they made a huge difference, and not in a very long period of time. Mm. I've been a vegetarian for over 30 years, and so food has always been a really important element. How do I nourish my body? Food has been a really important tool for my family in general. Both of my daughters have incredible food sensitivities, and we've had to really be intentional about the food that we offered and provided them in a world that, you know, most of the items that they would have offered to them out at school or at birthday parties or other things just weren't in their highest good, and they never felt good after that. And of course, for my daughter with migraines, it would just increase her pain and other things. So I feel that being an empowered person on this planet and being in a place of kind of deep connection with myself and nurturing what I choose to eat and what I choose to provide food for my family is really a foundation of how I nourish myself. And not just, you know, from a body perspective, but really from a mood and energy and just a sense of really wellness and thriving. So my daughter now, amazingly she's kind of come out of it. She's 20 years old now. She's not, in a chronic, health challenge anymore. She still has migraines from time to time, but she's used food as a way of really healing herself. My younger daughter loves all of the offerings that you have, and we make so many of the recipes that you'd offered, and really see it as a way of making a choice every single day to nurture and really love ourselves.
I love that. I love that. And it's amazing. It's amazing that tool works so well, because, you know, even if there's listeners who, you know, don't have to deal with something like a child with epilepsy, there's always things that we have to deal with every day, right? That just take us out of taking care of ourselves as moms, because we're always, you know, even if it's, you know, mundane things like driving kids around and whatnot, it's so easy to take our own self-care out of the mix. So that's just amazing that you were able to find that with such a challenging situation.
Well, and I think too, Mia, think about how many times we leave the house and we don't eat something ourselves, but we've provided a beautiful breakfast for our families, maybe made everybody's lunches, done all these things, but we leave out to do all the things we do in our lives, and we haven't even grounded by eating something supportive and nurturing for ourselves. So I think we can really look at self-nurturing in a multitude of different ways, but it really is basically identifying that if you don't care for yourself in a deep and profound way, you really can't be of service to all of those in your life in a sustainable way. We end up feeling resentful versus feeling like, what a joy it is that I get to be a parent, and that I get to do all of these amazing things in my life. I can only do that when I'm filled up, when I'm coming from that filled up place. If I'm coming from more of a place of scarcity and overwhelm, I can't do that. So it's actually nurturing yourself as a gift that, of course, you don't only give yourself, but that you give everyone in your life.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's so cool that it really is just like, it's just turning that it's just looking at it from a different perspective, because so often all these things that are self-nurturing, somehow we're programmed to think are selfish or, you know, we're not worthy of, for whatever reason, you know, we come to those conclusions.
I think that's what's really beautiful. I love that you brought that up, because how we value ourselves, our worth, ends up being the gift that you get through the self-nurturing practice. You get to look at it and have more awareness of it. You know, when you recognize you haven't been taking care of yourself, you can say, hey, what was that about? But the other thing is that what I've witnessed in hundreds of people is that the more that you nurture yourself, the more that you value yourself. And the more that you value yourself, the more that you commit to the nurturing practices. And so it's a beautiful, positive cycle. Yeah. But it does take kind of taking a step in and having some action around it to inspire the positive cycle to begin.
So for those, so for people listening who are like, yeah, like that sounds fabulous. But I mean, the truth is I work and I have this child doing this and, there's so much going on. Like, where's a good place to start? Where, how do you jump into this and how do you incorporate it into your life in a way that, feels okay if you're coming from a place where this doesn't feel okay?
Well, since we're talking to a community who is interested in food as a way of really caring deeply for health and wellness, I would say that food is a really great place to start. Mm-hmm. So if we want to think about how we do anything is the energy that we bring through our lives. So if I have an attitude of gratitude and positivity and deep appreciation that I get to cook a meal that is not only going to be supportive to myself, but to my family, I think the act of actually preparing a meal, you can bring mindfulness to and elevate its meaning. So now it's not just a mundane chore, but it's actually a practice, a self-nurturing practice that you are, making something that is going to be nourishing and supportive. And I believe with my whole heart, you can put love into everything you do. So you can cook a meal and see it with real intention as like, this is how I'm loving myself and loving my family today. You could just start with a breakfast. You could just start with, you talk a lot about making plans so that we don't get so overwhelmed. So on your Sunday, when you're planning what your week is going to be, really seeing that, again, instead of a chore, shifting our mindset and seeing it as a self-nurturing act. And sometimes we think self-nurturing has to be something we just do by ourselves. I don't see it that way at all. I see it as something that's deeply, like the way I define self-nurturing is the act of caring for yourself by deeply nourishing, cherishing, and encouraging your own growth and potential. But the fact is that we as a family can do nurturing things all together. You talk a lot about inviting your kids in to participate in the preparation of things. My daughters love to do that. It's such a joy to see that we're all collaborating around a meal. So we're having fun, we're connecting. I think we all have such a deep need to connect. Yeah. Connecting is a deeply self-nurturing act. It's Brené Brown's work. She talks a lot about like that is what the essence of what we have a desire to do as humans on this planet. And so any time that we can connect, whether it is around preparing a meal together or sitting and having a meal together, meals are really important times for our family. We have lots of nurturing rituals around that, whether it's talking about things we're grateful for, talking about something, that was really a joy in our day, something that was a challenge. We use that time as a way of connecting in a meaningful and deeply powerful way so that the whole experience feels nurturing. And I think when that's the case, we actually digest our food better. Yeah. We feel better. We're more energized. And there's just a sense of joy for me, just a sense of joy throughout it that really feeds me, which again is self-nurturing.
Yeah, it's so interesting because it's so amazing talking to you and just looking back and reflecting, and like some of the most powerful shifts that we've made in our house have been me nurturing myself, and they've been so small, like the breakfast thing that you were talking about earlier. I remember this point where I was just feeling like getting out the door with three kids was just so draining that by the time I got them to school and had to sit down to work, I was like, blah. So the thing that I ended up doing, and I'm not even I don't even remember how I came to it. Maybe you suggested it. But it was funny because I was like, you know what? If I just connected with each child for like 45 seconds before I asked them to come down in the morning, I would satisfy everything, because I would have this like 45 seconds to give them a hug or a back rub or whatever they were needing in that moment, like one-on-one eye contact. Plus, they would be in a whole different space when they came down for breakfast, and they'd be more helpful, and I would feel better. And it was like, it took less than 2 minutes, you know? It was like this little change that took less than 2 minutes. It just took me putting some intention to a moment, and it changed everything. And so I love that it doesn't have to be big, you know? So many people think everything has to change at once.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, just love that example of intentional choice that you made that had, it sounds like, amazing ripple effects. And the fact is that we're all used to struggling. And so part of the self-nurturing practice is to bring awareness of where we perceive struggle and make a choice. Do we need to struggle around that, or could we change our perspective of it and have it be something that actually is a gift? You know, waking up in the morning can be really difficult. Or it can be a joy to wake up and think, oh my gosh, I have another day. I mean, we have to train our brains, and part of mindfulness is really, you know, bringing awareness to this present moment, because really in this present moment, there is peace and there is joy. But it's what we usually do is we're so in regret of what wasn't, and we struggle so much with that, or we have so much anxiety about what's to come. But what if we just woke up in a way where we breathed into this moment, here we are, we connected with those we love, and that's the energy that we took through to our day. And set an intention, you know, to have joyful experience and vibrant health and abundant prosperity, whatever it is for each of us. But really just took those moments to start out with intention in our day. And what a gift you've given your kids and yourself.
Well, and it's funny, in those little, like, just making that intention to, you know, feel good, it just makes you make different choices, right?
So
it's not about going on a diet and not eating X. It's like, well, if I feel this way, if I'm making a choice to feel great, then this is what I need to eat to feel that way, right? So it's like you're just coming at it from this whole other angle, which is
well, and I love that when we're talking about our kids too. I look at, so we've been vegetarians in our family. My husband is too. We raised our kids vegetarian in our home, but we always allow them to make their own choices when they were out in the world. Mm-hmm. Because I think much like religion, you know, that we can offer the foundation of things, but people have to own it themselves, or they'll only do it while they're in front of you, but they'll do something very different after. I've had many friends in homes where there was restrictive food things that was went crazy out in the world.
Yeah.
And so it's been really great to have conversations all the time with our kids. So they would eat something maybe out in the world that didn't feel good for them. And they'd come home and say, oh my gosh, I'm really not feeling well. And instead of having any shame attached, oh, well, you shouldn't have done that. No, just, oh, well, there's some information. Wow, you ate that and you don't feel good. You know, you might make a different choice next time. And that has really woven through into who they are as teenagers and young adults. And it's so cool to see they make great choices for themselves all the time because they had a way of reflecting back to them, to their own selves. Yeah. So it's really exciting to see. And, you know, we always have more opportunities to learn. Like, oh, God, I didn't know that was in that and I'm not feeling good. But it's exciting because it's about empowerment. We have this amazing opportunity to be models for our kids and provide beautiful structure. And the real gift, at least when you get on this side of parenting for me with this young adult, to watch her just make beautiful choices for herself, I'm like, yes, that's the whole thing, because it really is about her.
Right.
You know? So
I love that. And I love that you use the word choice so much with food, because I feel like it's one of those things that most of us get into a pickle at some point because we've gotten to this point where it's not a choice anymore, you know, where school lunch is school lunch and this is what you're supposed to do for a birthday and this is just what they serve at some work event, you know, and we forget that we really can choose what we're eating. And it is a choice. It's always a choice, right?
I think it's the most exciting choice that we get to have because we have so many opportunities throughout the day.
Yeah.
So if you want to bring mindfulness to something, you know, that really helps you be in the present moment, wow, you know, what we put in our bodies is one of those things. And to bring the same kind of quality of self-compassion and forgiveness when we make a choice that isn't so great for ourselves. You know, I mean, it's wonderful because then we're going to have another opportunity to make something that feels better and is more supportive for us. So, yeah.
So let's talk, as you bring up mindfulness, let's move into some, like, just, you know, one or two tools that you can give everybody that would really helps with this notion of self-nurturing and help sort of in a very, I feel like we've given a ton, but in a very tangible way. Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I love to teach everyone and every opportunity I get, this is the offering that I give, and I call it the arriving technique. And you can teach this to your kids as well. And the idea is that you have a couple of moments of meditation and mindfulness to bring you into the present moment. So this is how it would look. I would invite a person to sit with their feet, you know, firmly placed on the ground, and close their eyes if they choose to, or just soften them down, and take a few deep body breaths in, and then bring a spirit of curiosity and non-judgment to their selves, and just notice how it feels to be sitting here. Notice how it feels to have your feet on the ground. Notice where your palms are resting. You're just kind of observing yourself, like, huh, here I am in this moment. And then take a few more breaths in and out, really feeling, you know, being intentional about feeling the breath moving in and out. And then check in with your body. We have so much information that we're missing by not being connected to our bodies. There's a quote that says something like, Mr. Jones lives 6 feet outside his body. And I feel like a lot of us do that. And so we're missing all this important information about, I mean, I think, and you know well, you know, some people have no idea how bad they feel until they start feeling better when they're eating better food. So taking a moment to kind of do a body scan and see, what areas do you have tension or tightness? What areas do you feel discomfort? And what areas do you not have any sensation? I think that's always really interesting. And then you connect back with your breath a few times, and then check in with your thoughts. Notice what you're thinking today. I'm a real advocate of labeling our thoughts. Just notice, do you have common things? Is there worried thoughts? Are there judging thoughts? Are there, I used to call it my homeland security thoughts. It was like, how am I going to keep everyone safe and everyone, you know, protected? And just was kind of on high alert all the time. I didn't even know. It's like that tape was running in the back of my mind. I didn't even know it was there. It makes sense because, you know, I supported a daughter that had epilepsy and was in crisis a lot. So it made sense, but I ended up generalizing it to everyone. So I would be at a concert. I would try to figure out how I was going to get everyone out safely if something happened, you know, way beyond what was, you know, appropriate boundaries for me to take, and really exhausting. So I think when you start to tune into your thoughts, you're like, oh my gosh, wow, there's a lot of that. You might even hear a critical thought. Like, huh, okay. So we just get information by labeling our thoughts. Then we come back to our breath, really breathing in and out. And what I like to do at the end of it is say, I breathe into this moment. And as I breathe out, I say, I have arrived. And I just say that to myself a few times, and then I open my eyes. And what's really cool is, you know, I've taught my kids this. They use this all the time. I've taught, you know, many, many clients at big talks. I teach this out to a big audience. And the interesting thing, I do this before every counseling session with my clients, because when we're in the present moment, we have access to all our insight, our wisdom, we're connected. There is a sense of possibility of peace and joy that there isn't when we're, you know, scattered or in multiple places. And I'm imagining that if families did this before, you know, they ate, they could do this together, or before they went to bed at night. Moms could do this when they're in transition. You know, and again, you were saying about being able to do something simple. This can take 2 minutes. Like, this does not have to be an extended period of time, but it's just enough time to do three super important things. Remind yourself that your breath is always accessible to you. It is a tool all the time to calm you, to ground you, and to bring a sense of peace within you. It allows you to get in touch with your body when you're not triggered or not upset or not feeling bad, just when you are. So you can start to notice the difference when you are triggered or are feeling bad. So it connects us in a healthy kind of relationship way with our bodies. And then it allows us to be more aware of our thoughts. And our thoughts are really powerful, but you have to have a space to be able to acknowledge and have awareness of them before you can choose how you want to transform them. So that would be a really great tool that people can use. Yeah. And it's
the dinner table seems like such a great place to do it, but and also just the time that you can teach it so that the kids have it, you know, at school or, you know, wherever they're having a moment.
Absolutely.
And right away, it sounds like a fabulous, like, discipline tool, you know, in that moment when all you want to do is yell at everybody to get out the door or clean their plates or whatever it is. It seems like a great mom tool, a parenting tool.
Absolutely.
Love it.
And actually, just such a great tool just in general. What I've found is that the more mindful we are, the more compassionate we are, the more aware we are of our dynamics in relationships. So we end up just improving our relationships overall by bringing more awareness and presence in the moment.
I love that. So you are such a wealth of information. Thank you, because I feel like there's just so many nuggets within this episode that listeners can take and just go with. So I'm so super excited about that. So I have one final question that I always wrap up every episode with. But before I do that, will you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and what you're up to and, you know, all that good stuff?
Yeah. So people can connect with me in multiple ways. They can connect with me on my website, intruthandbeauty.com. That's soon to change to cultivatingpeaceandjoy.com, which I'm really excited. I'm in the process of a rebrand and just really highlighting what it is that I do. So it's really clear out in the world that really is my mission, is to empower people to cultivate peace and joy. And I believe with my whole heart that that's how we have a more peaceful, loving world. And I consider myself a peacemaker and a humanitarian. And so that's really the bigger vision. People can also connect with me and follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Kelly_Grime. So there's lots of ways. I really love to provide a lot of information. And I'm constantly reading and finding new interesting information about mindfulness and nurturing and self-care and all of these different things. So that's an important offering. I feel that the more information that we all have, the more empowered we are, and we feel like, wow, there is a lot of good going on in the world. And I think that's always very inspiring and encouraging.
That's amazing. I love that. And it's true, because I do follow you. So I know that you're always offering amazing wisdom. And I will put all those links in the show notes. So
okay. Fabulous. Fabulous. I also write a blog every week around all of these different ideas. And so if that would serve people, I would love for people to read my blog. And I on my website, I have the top 5 ways to create peace in your day, which is a list of, again, those kind of simple and easy techniques to include in your day so that you have as many strategies as possible to live with more peace and joy.
Oh, I love that. So everyone should go download that for sure. All right, you ready? You ready for the final question?
Oh, I am. I am. What is it?
So my big curious thing that I love asking people, because I feel like the more we understand everyone's homes and sort of life, the more tools that we have to move forward. So what I would love to know is there a meal in your life that stands out? And it could be about the food or the company or just like a big aha you had while at the table. And it could be that it happened last week, and it could be just this thing that you carry with you that happened when you were 9 years old. So is there anything that comes to mind of just an amazing reason that lets you know that sitting down for meals is a good idea?
Oh, gosh, there's so many of them, because it's such an important part of our practice in our family is to come together like that. But when I'm just thinking of one Thanksgiving, we decided we were going to do something totally different, and we decided that we were going to make pizzas on the grill. And so it was so much fun. All of us came together, and it was like multiple people in our family, extended family. All the time we spent talking and prepping all of the things for the pizzas, you know, the putting them out on the grill, coming back and everybody doing their own individual pizzas. It was so loving. It was so joyful. I'm actually feeling a little teary right now saying it. It was such a beautiful experience, and it was so different. It was like the whole group of us breaking out of what our normal cultural norms are. And being a vegetarian, you know, our family are vegetarians and vegan inspired. We're very much vegan usually at home, and but our extended family are not. Yeah. So holding that space, and it was such a beautiful experience not to have the whole turkey and that whole focus on that, but have it be about us coming together and creating. And they were beautiful. Oh my gosh, they were masterpieces after the pizzas, the way they looked, and it was it was so fun. And it was so joyful, and it was so different, and it was definitely a bonding in a really different way than we'd had as an extended family. So I would say that would be my answer for today. But, you know, my husband makes board games for a living. Mm-hmm. And so much of the time what we do is we'll have a really beautiful meal, and then we'll clear everything away and bring a game out, mm-hmm. and all play together. As a way of continuing just joy, laughter, connection, etc. So there's always games. There's almost never a game. There's almost never a meal where there isn't a game. And people all know that when they come to our house, like they're looking around. And actually at our dining room table, right behind it, we have a thing, and that's where all our games are. So we can just, you know, we let guests choose. There's a whole variety of his company's games, and we let them choose and you know, kind of continue the joy of being together in playing a game.
I love that. That's amazing. And I love the Thanksgiving story, because that's one of my favorite things, is to switch up things like that that don't bring us joy anymore. So that's amazing. So thank you so much for your time. And I'm assuming everyone who's listening to this is just feeling really inspired and in a place where you feel like you have this set of doable changes that you can implement, like now, just pick one and do it this week. And it's seems like it will change a lot. So thank you, Kelly, so much for your time.
Oh, it's been such a joy, Mia. It's such a joy. Thanks so much for having me. And I just really, you know, if there's any way that we can all deeply commit to loving and accepting and nurturing ourselves, I believe that there's no end to the good that we can all do in the world.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. I love that. All right, so let's go off and be self-nurturing. I love it. It's a great, great model for the week. So have a great day, Kelly, and I hope I'll talk to you soon. And goodbye, all you listeners.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.